God, guide my speaking, that your words may be heard in our hearts and in our minds. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down. If there has ever been an occasion when the readings were meant for the person that's leading the service, it was today. I am a perennial worrier. I can, without realising it, I'm like one of those ducks, you know, serene on the surface, paddling like mad. Without even realising it in myself, I make myself ill, worrying. Tomorrow is the day Morris has his fourth annual bone marrow test to see how his leukaemia is progressing. I don't know why I worry about it. He doesn't. In fact, it's got to the point where they can't even detect it in his blood anymore. But the bone marrow gives a more in-depth result. And I get anxious. The reading from Romans is one that many of you will know, so I've shared this before. In times of difficulty, this reading gets thrown at me in most remarkable ways. Once when I was in a position where the churches I was in wanted me to stay, but I felt it was right to move on. And I went on retreat, and I was wrestling with this, what was right to do. And I kept opening resources and all sorts of things, and Romans 8 kept being there. And I kept ignoring it. And our present suffering's not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. And then the next line. I was sat in the garden trying to think what God was saying to me of this retreat house in Devon. And then I heard the most unearthly sound, which was unmistakably a sheep giving birth. The creation groans as in childbirth. Many of you have been there. I haven't. Many of you have put yourself through it again. People go through such pains because of what is to come. But we do not know what is to come. The creation, God made everything. We had this beautiful piece from Genesis. God, before he made us, had provided for us. It stops before we were created. Before we were even created, God made everything we could possibly need. Last Sunday, I was at Cranfield, and they don't follow the lectionary. And for some reason, I felt led to read this passage from Matthew. Very familiar. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink. So easy to say. And then I saw it was picked again. It was in the lectionary for today. God is talking to me. And I know many of you are also worriers, worrying about other people, worrying about things we cannot change. It's got this wonderful phrase, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough worries of its own. I'm not one of these people that finds it easy to think, I don't need to worry about anything because God will provide it. Well, yes, God will provide it, but sometimes we actually need something to do something. God puts us in a situation and we need to earn money to find the food, to buy the food and to find the clothes and all that. It's not like we're passive in this, but we shouldn't worry about it. So easy to say, do not worry. And it's that last line from Paul's passage. Who hopes for what they already have? If we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. I don't know if you do. Patience is something I struggle with. If there's something I see that needs doing, I want it done. But it's back to what he's saying about creation being an ongoing process. It is the very things that pull us out of our comfort zone, that make us uncomfortable, that compel us to change things. We have a role to play in the ongoing process of creation that will lead ultimately to the kingdom of God. We have a role to play in that. And the things that upset us are the things that make us want it to change. When life is good, we don't necessarily look outwards. When we are in need, we do. Yet I spent time with people who have nothing by our standards. In South Africa, I spent times in tin huts with families who were so grateful to have the food they needed. No electricity, very little belongings, but they were happy for what they did have. It almost seems like the more we have, the more we want, and the more dissatisfied we are with what we have. God wants us to focus on what is really important, but not to worry about it. As I said, I can't stand here in all honesty and tell you, don't worry, because I do it all the time. It almost seems like we're a nation of worriers. Some of us aren't happy unless we've got something we can whittle about. But God does provide for everything. We are reminded in Genesis that before he even made us, everything was prepared. In the gospel reading, Jesus reminds us that God provides for everything. You don't need to worry about that. Just go on with the path that is before you. Do what you need to do, what you've been called to do, and everything else will come with it. Then slightly later on, Paul is saying, yes, it isn't comfortable at times, but what we put up with now is worth nothing compared to what is to come. Some of us are in the throes of deep tragedy. There are things we cannot see what there is any purpose in. Some tragedy of loss. The tragedy that is dementia, which for so many people is a living bereavement. Your mum, your wife, your husband is still there, but not in a way you recognise. It is difficult to see what God's purpose is in some things. But worrying cannot change a thing. My worrying will not make Morris's bone marrow test any different. But I should focus on the fact that the medication is working brilliantly, that he has more energy now than he's had for a long time. A constant message I'm getting at the moment is focus on the good. Yes, there are hardships, Some people, when presented with a silver lining, look for the cloud. God is always presenting us with the silver lining. That's what we should focus on. And with each other and with God, the clouds become smaller and we can get through the darkest times. But we need to ask for God's help. We need to ask for each other's help. And we should try not to worry. And we should try to wait patiently. When I was on my pre-ordination retreat, I was in a similar dark place, having just gone through an awful church council where they were talking about, circuit meeting, where they were talking about to re-invite me or not. And some people were very unpleasant about the benefits of a role that was entirely outreach. And the phrase is tattooed on my brain that was read out by one church who said, "The diaconal role risks crucifying the existing churches for something they see little or no benefit from." And then I went off to my pre-ordination retreat, not wanting to be part of the church, let alone getting ordained. This hymn that we're going to sing shortly is one that was placed in front of me time and time again on this retreat. And it includes this verse. "Not forever in green pastures do we ask our way to be, but the steep and rugged pathway may we tread rejoicingly." Now, I notice in the hymn book we have today that last line is perhaps more realistic. "But the steep and rugged pathways, would we strive to climb to thee?" In the Methodist hymn book, it is the treading rejoicingly that we struggle with. I struggle with, I can't speak for you. But God is with us in all things, no matter how dark. God is with us when we're full of joy and we don't realise we need God. But we need each other. In prayer and in fellowship, all things are possible. Amen.